Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful Sabbath, and we have just gone through a heat wave here and across the country, and we had, 104 degrees. I saw that on some of the banks yesterday, and very, very hot and humid. There was like 100% humidity out there. I know I walked into this, just from the car, walking into a store, every time I got out in it the last couple of days, I just went, ah, every time it hit you, ah, said it out loud. And at one store I went in, I says, hey, you can turn me over, I'm done, you know, it's over. I've cooked long enough out there, been basting long enough. So you have to go through that once in a while. Electric companies are all very happy, and they're smiling, and they're going to get all the big bills. So we have to just endure that occasionally. And today it's, maybe be about like 90, which is like a cool wave here. This is wonderful. And still kind of sticky, but I know out east it's coming to you, all of this. So I want to say greetings. And this week, I can still say greetings to the seven churches, because next week we're going to be on the road and starting another new church, and the week after that, another church. So we're looking forward to officially doing that and visiting with the people and getting things set up in the churches. So it's always a privilege to do that. I hope no one minds when they write in. Occasionally I will read a letter. Most of us have a hard time just writing a sentence down on paper. And if we do write a letter, you know, we just hope somebody can understand it. We're not all that good at writing. Some people have a knack at that. And I try to cover their names and all of that enough. But sometimes people write in, and it is such an encouraging letter. I want to share that with the whole church, because I believe everyone has gone through the same thing or will go through the same thing as they learn this. This comes from a person. Their mate was starting to understand this. They were not. And now they are starting to understand this and very, very happy. And so I just wanted to share this, and like I say, I hope no one is offended by this at all. And so it starts out, Dear Mr. Ronspies, hi. Wanted to introduce myself and let you know I am back in the pasture. Wow. I can't even believe the peace that I am finding. And we have all felt the same. I have had fear inside me as a child growing up, and then when coming into the church over 23 years ago, I learned that fear was the way to go. And we're all under that fear religion, and we all lived that. I was even diagnosed with fear and anxiety attacks from a physician, because it really affects people. It affects people in their lives. I didn't know what it felt like to feel peaceful inside. It feels so neat. And it really does. I am so excited that I can't even explain. The message that God is delivering through you is such a wonderful blessing that I have chills running through me as I tell you this. I am excited and am filled with a feeling that just can't be described. Isn't it great? I was so burned out and beaten down by going from global to living, and then to think of going somewhere else. I actually cried out to God and said, I don't want to be there. I just can't do it. Well, after God dragged me to the pasture, little did I know that I can't do it. Only God can do it. I see so many that are out there that have just been beaten down so bad. And God in His mercy is bringing all of us back. It goes on, I listen to tapes now and it has become part of my day. And I can't say I have been like this before. God is really doing this in me. Wow. I don't mean to take up any more of your time. Just wanted to share some excitement with you. We look forward to seeing you and the brethren at the feast time. Thank God for His truth and His knowledge. With love to you and your wife. Brethren, we get those in all the time. And it's always the same theme. And it is changing people's lives and is bringing peace to their life. And that is what the true gospel of peace that Jesus Christ preached was all about. When you hear the true message of God, you're not supposed to get all frustrated and with fear and beaten down, and I wonder if I can make this now. You're supposed to be encouraged and enlightened. You're supposed to feel good, peaceful, confidence, hope. That's what God gives to all of us with the real truth. Okay, I did want to announce, because you will be getting this. This is Lazarus Part 4, Lazarus and the Rich Man. It may go to Part 5, but you won't hear that for a while. Because as we have the schedule laid out, all of you in the churches are going to begin to receive after this tape a series of four tapes on how do I fast. And this is when we first started the videotape. We don't have our backdrop, we don't have lighting, we're just experimenting with the whole thing. But it is on tape, and I thought I'd send it out to the churches, and everyone will get a regular cassette tape as well. Even if you have a set, you're going to get another one. So I know everyone is getting them. And there's four tapes in that. Plus, when Trumpets rolls around, you will see the video from last year, and then you will see the Atonement tape from last year. But that goes hand in glove with that four on fasting. It leads right into Atonement. This year, I think it's so very important because an awful lot of people have come in after the feast last year, and they have not been able to experience this. And I can assure you that it is different the way you're supposed to fast. We still fast for a 24-hour period. But the whole meaning has changed, and why we fast has changed, and we have the proper perspective on this now. And it's very important that we all stand together on Atonement, standing together in unity with the correct knowledge, standing there with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And you will learn that going through all of those fasting tapes. We must stand there. One church, one body, one spirit, in unity together. I think that you will see that God will give and grant power and strength to His church and to you all individually. I've already experienced this. Believe me, it's good and it stays with you and it never goes away. And you will start to realize a strength that you've never had before and a hope and a confidence, because for once we finally are standing with our Father in Jesus Christ together in unity. And that is what that is going to teach you through this fasting. And that is how we resist Satan. And the church this year will resist Satan in a big way. And he will not like it. What he's going to do, what God's going to allow him to do, we don't know. We don't really care. Because God has to protect us all. Or it's a done deal anyway. I mean, you know, Satan just wipe us out. But he's not going to be able to wipe us out. And so I look forward to that. And in the meantime, I will be giving other sermons that you will hear after the feast, and we'll be able to get up 4 or 5 weeks on this, because there's going to be a lot more traveling to the churches next year. I know right after the feast, sometime within the next few months after the feast, we have 3 more churches ready to start to come online. So and then I have to go and visit everyone that's out there right now. So it's going to be a busy year. we're looking forward to it. It's always wonderful to come to the different church sites because it's like having another mini feast. So I get to have those all year. That's one of the big perks of the job. I get to see all of you throughout the year and see the excitement, and it really is nice. I want to get back into this. This is Lazarus and the Rich Man, Part 4. And we've been going through a lot of different words that Christ used and was inspired to use in this. And they weren't just aimless words like the poor in the gate and the sores and talking about Abraham and being comforted. And we're right in the middle of this great gulf because the rich man is saying, well, there's this great gulf here. And Abraham says, there's a big gulf here between you and us. And you can't come over and we can't go over there. This is divided here. And we're seeing this great gulf. And we see that the rich man pictures Satan, the devil. And we see that Lazarus pictures all mankind. And Abraham is there. He's going to be there. He's going to, oh, there's this fly flying around here today. So you'll see me bat on this thing once in a while. But Abraham's going to be there, and King David's going to be there, and all the prophets are going to be there, and John the Baptist is going to be there. And yes, they're all going to be physical, and they're going to live forever, like everyone in that great last harvest, which is the second resurrection. They will all be eating off the trees of life, which gives them physical life forever. That's the way God made it. Just always look at your hand. Science still can't make that. Think God's going to waste that on a 6,000 or 7,000 year plan? Oh no, forever. But it'll be done in perfect. No perfection. No one will ever get arthritis or anything else. The angels will be there to protect you, to be the true ministering spirits. But I get ahead of myself here. But there's this great gulf. And this week I've been talking to some folks on the phone here, and I said, yes, when that great gulf is there, when that, I think that we just went through last week, we went through the Matthew 25, the very picture of that white throne judgment, where he takes all the sheep, put them on his right hand, the devil and the goats, all that stuff over there on the left, and we're all standing there, and Jesus Christ is going to pronounce, Satan, you are going into the second death. You are going into hell. And you and all your demons, all your devils. And then Christ just may turn and look back at all of us and say, do you want it regular or extra crispy? See? And we're all going to say, extra crispy. Let's not, you know, let's really make sure this thing is done. And, boy, this fly is really, really on me here, isn't he? And I guess he likes the hot lights up here. So, we were going through that last week. I wanted to continue. I think there was a couple of verses that I didn't get to on this one. So let's turn back to Revelation 21. There is a great gulf, and there should be a great gulf between good and evil. And we're going to be standing, and all mankind standing with God and Jesus Christ, and that's the good. Revelation 21. I think I had to break that off right kind of in the middle. We're going through this, and I already explained that, so I won't go back. But starting in verse 26 here, at least where my notes are, at least it'll get us back up to speed. Revelation 21. Starting in verse 26. And they shall bring a glory and honor of the nations into it. Talking about this holy city. There is a difference. There is a difference where Lazarus is going to be. In this brand new, great last day, the very kingdom of God and Satan, that rich man. It says, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that is defiled, neither whatsoever works an abomination or makes a lie. Who is the father of all lies? Satan. They're not going to be around. They're going to be burned up. That's why they can't come in there. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brethren, it's going to be a wonderful time. And there is a great gulf. And that's what this parable is showing. There is something that God is working out. And there is a plan God is working out. And it's a definite plan. And it's been written in stone. And it's going to happen. There's no ifs about it. Well, what if you all flake out of the church? Oh, Christ is going to have to run to the Father and say, Daddy, Daddy, look what's happening to your plan. It's all falling apart. Do you think God would be that stupid? No, that's the way we'd set it up. He sets it up perfectly. We can't think perfectly. Anything He thinks is perfect. That's why His plan is so perfect. It will be this way. There isn't ifs. I know I talk with people sometimes and they're not really with us. And I say, well, that's the way you interpret it. That's the way that you feel it is. And we feel it's the other way. And I said, well, you know, you can feel anything you want, but what's right is right. And that's what the book says. And if you're running under a satanic counterfeit, well, you know, you can read this book anyway. We've all learned that we can read this book the wrong way. Only God's Spirit can direct you to read it properly at His time, not at your choice. And that is what we are all finding out. And when it's His choice and He brings you to the knowledge, then it is sweet, then it is pure, then it is holy, because it's His mind and it's His way. And then it sticks with you and it changes your life. You don't have to think about changing your life. It's an automatic thing. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. Yes, there's a great gulf here. Very important gulf. And nothing is going to run from one to the other side. God has determined already, way before a lot of these people had their chance or their choice, He's already determined, no, they're going to be here. And He's going to be over there. So where did your choice come into it? It didn't. If He would have allowed us to have our own choice, then we'd have been sitting over there hearing the words, you're going to be extra crispy. Because that's where we would have ended up. Been in the church for 45 years now. I haven't seen anyone do it right yet, myself included. Are you hiding out there? Please let your, you know, come forward. You know, I know all the ministry. They we had to push aside right away. I'm going through all the brethren. I can't find anyone there either. I already looked at the mirror, in the mirror before I started this. I already pushed myself over to the side. God is doing it. And if He does not do it, then we are so sorry of all mankind. Matthew 13, starting in verse 47. Another little parable here. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. This is the kingdom of heaven we're talking about. The very kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. You know, when you send a net out there, you don't know. You could catch a whale. You soon will know that, of course, because the net will break or your boat will sink. But you can catch a dolphin. You can catch shark. You can catch little fish, big fish. You don't know what you're going to get. And with most of us fishing, ain't catch an old boot or a tire or something or weed. It's about what we catch. But it goes in there. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Throwing a big net out. Which when it was full, they drew it to shore. And sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. That's what we've been talking about. So shall it be. Now, this isn't good men and bad men. These are the sheep and the goats. He gathers them all, brings them all up. Then he divides them. The parables always have a theme running through it, and it's always the same. It's a great last day, generally. And it's talking about the plan of God. That's why they're there. So when we actually see the truth, we can go back there and we can, you know, we don't have to say, oh, well, look what I thought up on my own. Oh, no, 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 no. No, the Bible verifies what God reveals. And once he revealed the true plan, now we come back and look at these. Oh, yeah, all the words of Christ back up everything that he has revealed. That's how you try the spirits. That's how you know that it is true and not a satanic cover-up. So in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. So he's telling us this. So it will be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, these little demons and devils don't like going in there. And there's going to be a lot of wailing. Not on our side. We're going to keep saying, extra crispy. So there's nothing left. So this foul, rotten being will never be able to hurt our brothers and sisters again. Ever. Ever. What a glorious day that is going to be. Is there a great gulf between the rich man and the rest of the world? Is there a great gulf between Satan and Abraham? Yes. There better be. We don't want them treading over, coming in and bothering God's children ever again. Now we can just write this down in Psalms 1, verse 5. It says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. And it means good judgment, because judgment from God is good. They won't stand there, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The righteous is going to be all of God's family in that second resurrection. They're going to come out of that ground pure and right with God's Holy Spirit all around, covering this whole earth and in them. And they'll see Jesus Christ. They will see God the Father. And they will see New Jerusalem coming down. And they will believe. The same way you believed when God opened up your mind. The day before, you didn't believe. The day God started to work with you with His Spirit, you started to believe. And they will believe. And it says all those who believe on Jesus Christ will be saved, will be there. See, it wasn't up to them. It wasn't up to you. It's a great plan of God. And it's still, I just... That's one of the biggest things these so-called ministers out there and these other groups and other holy people, so they're so righteous, so self-righteous. When you tell them that all mankind is going to be there, they say, no, 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 we want to kill all of our brothers and sisters. We want the Father's sons and daughters to be killed. They're not good enough to be with me. That's their attitude. That's a satanic attitude. It's a deceived attitude. I just told you the best thing that there is in the universe. And then people fight that. Not in church. All the ones outside. They will come to understand it. And I think in most cases they will come up in that second resurrection. And they will stand there. And for the first time in their lives, they will believe on Jesus Christ. And that'll be a happy day. It's going to be a very happy day. Let's turn here to Matthew. While we're in Matthew, turn to Matthew 7. He gives some instruction here because he's telling this true plan of salvation. And he has things to say even to the church. And this, I guess, is still in the Sermon on the Mount, which I'm going through out on the road. And you all get that as a tape series when we finish that. But as slow as I'm going, that may be a couple of years. Seem to only get through maybe four or five verses for the whole sermon. But that is laying out the entire plan of salvation right there, right from the get-go. And so I'll take the time it takes. Here in Matthew 7, verse 15, he's telling you, you know, there is this gulf. Right now we're all kind of mixed in together. He says, beware of false prophets. Beware of them, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. I think that we've all experienced that, haven't we? It's very interesting that God is not calling right now any of these paid ministers or any of the other, in their mind, holy and righteous ambassador college students, because they always thought that they should be ministers anyway. God kind of was sleeping that day, passed them over. And he's not bringing a lot of them in. He's not bringing those old leaders in, is he? Now, hopefully some of them are converted, but an awful lot of them have been these raving wolves used by Satan to eat up, chew up, and spit out God's sheep. Did they succeed? No. Did they hurt? Beat down? Yes. But did they totally destroy them? No. God's people are driven by His Holy Spirit, and they will be back. They've been chased. I was telling one of our ministers, even last night, he says, you know, we have to all understand something. That the sheep, all of them, were pushed out. They were scattered. They were chased. All out in the mountains, the valleys. They're far away. We, as God's true ministers, we can't go and get them. That's not our job. We have no power to pull any one of them into the pasture. We sit in the pasture. And more are coming into the pasture. And they realize it when they come in. They use it, just like that letter I wrote. Get it all the time. They're all right. I'm coming back in the pasture. I didn't know I was out. I've been out in the mountains. I've been starving. But we as ministers in God's true church, we can't go out there and pull them back. That's not our job. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And it is the shepherd's duty and his job to bring those sheep back. We will not get in his way. Some kind of come around and they see the pasture, then they kind of run away a little bit. Are we going to bring the law of God down on them? No. We're here to comfort them. We are here to take care of them. We are the hirelings of God and of Christ, that when He brings them back into the pasture, we can nurture them. We can love them. We can welcome them. We can guide them to understanding that true plan of salvation. That's why we're here. That's why we're all in this pasture. And each one doesn't have to be a minister. All of you, you're all sheep. We're all sheep. We help one another. But that's when Christ brings them here. We can't do it. We have new people. When they come in, they're all excited, and they want all their friends to get all this literature and all the tapes. And, oh, yeah, yeah, if they only got it faster, no, just settle down. Just slow down. You got it, and you understood it, because God Almighty opened up your mind to see it. You didn't do it out of your own intelligence. You'd have still been out there in those rocks. You never would have left the pasture in the first place. So we think that, oh, quick, get it there, get it. No, just have patience. Let God do it at His timing and His inspiration. He knows. Jesus Christ knows exactly when He needs to, tap somebody on the shoulder and say, guess what, we got something new here. Not a day before, not a minute before. Let Him do it. Just because you got it doesn't mean everyone else is going to get it. You got it because God opened up your mind. Always give God the credit because He deserves that credit. So He tells us these raving wolves are going to be running around, and they had been. Hopefully they never will be again. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and of figs of thistles? No. It says, even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. They're still out there bashing away at people, aren't they? They're still telling them, oh, don't go over to that other group. Oh yeah, we all believe the same thing. Don't go there. It's the ministry that's keeping the people apart. When are the people going to wake up? They're all supposed to be preaching the same thing. They have gathered unto themselves, just like the raving wolves. See it for what it is. It's a shame. But it is in the process, and the sheep will appreciate it later as Christ comes and gathers them. And when they finally hear truth, and they finally have peace in their lives. That's why all of us are being prepared to welcome them all in. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Absolute declaration from God. There it is. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's a bad tree? Satan. What's a bad tree? All of his little devils and demons. What's a bad tree? That satanic counterfeit. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. For everyone that says unto me, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You cannot do the will of God unless you have His Spirit, and unless the Spirit is working within you. It's the only way you can do that. Satan can never do that. It's impossible for Satan to ever do that. Can't do it. He just can't. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? What about that demon that drives Billy Graham, the Pope, all the rest of them? I'm not saying that Billy Graham has a demon. I'm just saying that that spirit of this world. He's the first one that comes to mind. You know, Billy Graham has lived in this earth a very good life, and he has practiced what he preaches. And I wish all of us could be that way physically. He's a very nice gentleman. I'm not saying anything bad against him. It's the religion It happens to be that satanic religion of the pagan Christianity of this world. Oh, yeah, they say, "Ye Lord, Lord." Oh, they prophesy and they do different things. Of course, that spirit is making them do this. "And in your name we have cast out devils." Oh, you see this Benny Hinn guy and these Oral Roberts, all these guys running around casting out these spirits and pretending to heal people. You never read about the people in newspapers. Oh, you just see them on an emotionally charged stage. What happens after they go home? What's the deal then? If it was really miracles, the entire world would know about it. When one stupid picture of somebody painted on there that is not Christ starts to bleed blood, the whole world knows about it. You'd think we'd hear like one healing, one real true miracle? No, you don't read about that. Satan playing his little tricks, "and in thy name done many wonderful works." Oh, don't you remember us? We've done this. We've used your name. Yeah, you've used your name in vain. And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you." Now these are the spirits, not the individuals. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that work sin." It's always consistent, isn't it? Always consistent. If he was talking about mankind there, I'm sorry to say that Jesus Christ and God the Father are going to be lonely forever. Because not one human being will ever be allowed to be in that kingdom by any works that they have ever done. So funny, some of the ones that I know the best stand up there and tell people how righteous and holy they are representing God. And I know them. And I've known them for 40 years. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Liars. Deceivers. And that's what Satan is doing. To think, to have the gall, to have the self-righteousness, to think that you qualify for anything in God's kingdom. You know, it gets more repulsive as the days and weeks go on, as we learn more of the glory of God, and then to hear people talk about the self like they do. It really gets disgusting. And you can see why God has vengeance, great vengeance against all of this. He sees the darkness. We're just beginning to see the darkness of this. And we kind of think in our own mind, well, it wasn't that bad. Oh, yeah, it was horrible. You didn't know how bad it was. Because you've never seen the difference. When he says to come out and to be a light, and we've got this light coming out of this darkness, that's what he sees. He sees evil and iniquity and Satan. And he sees Satan destroying his children. And he is the only one that has true vengeance. And that vengeance will be exercised when you hear those words, regular or extra crispy. And we may not even have a choice. He may just turn around and say, "I think it's going to be extra crispy." We're all going to go, "Yep, yeah, that's right." Because I can tell you, you may not hate Satan now, and you may not hate evil now, but by the time this is all through and done, and you stand there with Jesus Christ, you will hate evil. We get carried away in his little world down here too much. Enjoy what you can, but always know that it's a fleeting little moment here. Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Is there a great gulf? Oh, yeah. Is there a difference in thinking? Is there a difference in existence? Is there a complete difference, night and day, light and darkness? Absolutely. It couldn't be more. So Psalms 101 says, I will sing, and these are all inspired by the Spirit of God, whether David is saying them, whether some of these are Christ's prayers and he has prayed them. It all comes, a prayer comes by the very Spirit of God. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto you. O Lord, I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Is that what our feelings are? Is that what we pray? A forward heart, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person or a wicked thing or an evil sin. Whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. God's going to cut them off. He's talking about Satan and those evil things. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all evildoers from the city of the Lord. Boy, there's a prayer. There's a prayer that comes from God and from Jesus Christ, powered by that Spirit. Is there a great gulf? Oh, yeah. There's a complete different way of thinking. It is darkness and it is light. And when you're on that dark side, which is Satan, he will always stay there. He can never come over. He can never change. He can never, ever repent. He cannot cease from sin. Yes, there's a great gulf there. It's not because it's a wicked person over there. It's a wicked thing over there. All the people are on the good side. What a wonderful truth. What a miracle that is to understand. You know what a blessing that is? It's a blessing to know this. It is a miracle to know it. Because the whole world and all the old church doesn't understand it yet. But they will. They will. And I think then in a moment we will continue on and we'll learn a little bit more about this great gulf.